webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, May 26, 2010, the only third night of the spring pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution 2-10 in the history of humanity. Glad to have you along for this third night, the third final night of the webcast for the pledge drive for 2010. We got a lot of work ahead of us. We got a lot of fun to be had. So let us do it. Get on the phone right away, ladies and gentlemen, at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran is waiting in studio in the Tampa Bay facilities of Glenn Klein Online. We're attempting to raise $20,000 over 21 days, ladies and gentlemen. That's a little over $1,000 a day. Even I can do that kind of math. And it's going towards some of the bills that we have to pay for the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries. And now, without any further ado, please welcome the namesake of Mike Williams Ministry, the president of the Gospel Revolution and its founder, from the home offices in Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Good evening, Glenn.
Are you ready to raise some cash?
Let's do a cash night. Grab that dough.
Well, let us rehearse the fact that we have raised some money thus far.
Yes, we have.
In 14 days, we have raised a total of $3,875.
Yep.
Towards our goal of $20,000, which means we have a lot of work to do. It can be done in one of several ways. Somebody could cut a check for a little over $16,000, and we would be done. Or a bunch of people can call in with small contributions that would get us to $20,000. We're good with either way. I think, Michael, if we had our druthers, we would prefer more people participating at smaller amounts, but whatever it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what we're looking for is for people to measure what they are capable of doing and then measure what they want to do. And that should only be measured by what the value that you place on this reaching other people. There's really no way that anybody who's listening could place a value and a price to contribute for what the gospel in and of itself has done in their lives, as it has done in my life also. I know there is no monetary value that I could place upon it at all. But each of us can make a decision as to how much we are willing and how much we are capable of participating in spreading this gospel around the world. It seems to be having, well, it doesn't just seem to be, it definitely is having a very profound effect around the planet and in many individuals' lives. And we just, my heart's desire is to see that grow. Because I know that the power of the gospel is very profound in the ability to save the soul. And there is not a human being on this earth that does not need their mind, their will, and their emotions saved from the influence of guilt and judgment, number one. And if only from that, that is a transforming experience on planet Earth, is to have your soul saved from guilt and judgment associated to your relationship with God. It is a profound experience that begins to unweave the web of deceit that we've gotten trapped in. It literally causes us to lie to ourselves, not just to each other, but lying to ourselves about ourselves, trying to protect ourselves from ourselves, when actually yourself is really not all that bad if you start viewing it through God's eyes.
Hardly. You start viewing yourself and other people through the eyes of God, far from being not too bad, you realize that people are perfect and just
yes.
and righteous and holy in the sight of God. Because God is not influenced by people's attitudes, behavior, or belief systems, is he, Michael?
No, not at all. And to think that he is to put human beings in the equation of this covenant, and that just is, that's just wrong. This covenant has nothing to do with involvement of the human race for this covenant that we are participating in, and are recipients of. We didn't participate in it at all, actually. But we are recipients of this incredible covenant, and it was because we did not participate that we are recipients. So the only way that God could see us now, based on our lack of participation, and it was only Christ's participation, it was only his righteousness that participated in this new covenant, and imputed unto the entire planet his righteousness. Jesus did not die to impart righteousness to those who would believe, but thank God through believing we can know that righteousness has been imparted.
That's awesome. Well, let us set the table a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. We know that there's a number of you listening right now live, perhaps, you know, into the thousands around the world right now, certainly into the thousands during the course of the week on the archive. And if you are listening live, and it's a little after 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., that's your clue to call us at 1-800-436-3260. We are asking you whether you are a first-time caller or a frequent caller. We need to hear from you tonight. Get us off to a good start right off the bat. This is the last night for this spring pledge drive that we will be taking specific time like this. We extend at least 30 minutes on the webcast pledge drives because we recognize that we are spending some time talking about our financial situation, and we spend almost no time talking about it normally. So we are taking extra time. We build in extra time. But get us off to a good start for this 90-minute exercise by getting on the phone and calling 1-800-436-3260. If it's not Wednesday night and you're listening on the archive, we need your help. We're trying to get to 20 grand so that we can pay our bills, some bills, not even all our bills. You run an organization, you realize that $20,000 for a three-month period is not a lot of money. It's a lot of money for us, but it's not a lot of money. And if we all unite together, we can get this done. So go to gospelrevolution.com, click on the Please Donate button in the middle of the homepage, and do your best. You can make a one-time gift. You can make a monthly pledge that in total for a year will equal whatever the amount per month that you give times 12. Now, we have a generous matching grant being offered tonight, whether it be for one-time gifts or monthly pledges totaling over the course of the year. Our precious sister Beverly Goluska, am I pronouncing that last name properly, Michael?
Goluski? Yeah.
From Allen Park, Michigan, is offering $1,500 in matching pledges, which means for every dollar we get from the time this was announced until we reach that $1,500, your money will be doubled. So we need to hear from you right now, because every dollar you give literally will be doubled up to $1,500 by Beverly Gillespie of Allen Park, Michigan. So get on the phone, get on the email. Email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you did so we can include it in our goal of the 20 grand. And for gifts totaling $100 or more, for gifts of $100 or more, whether they be a one-time gift or part of a monthly donation, you will receive free and postage paid the three thank you CDs. The three thank you gifts, two of which are CDs, Michael's teaching that he did in Wisconsin in the tavern on true conversion, Kate Benham's music CD. We had Kate on the show from Australia last week. If you didn't hear her on that webcast, go back and listen to the archive from last week's show. But her music CD, Eden in Me, and Grant Miller's book, who we heard from 2 weeks ago, Think and Be Free. Three gifts for your donation of $100 or more. Let us hear from you, 1-800-436-3260. Who's going to be first to call in? We have had gifts of as little as $3.80 up into this $1,500 gift from Beverly. So everything in between, it all goes into the same kitty. And so far, we have heard from these beautiful humans. Richard Mull has contributed a couple times from Garden Grove, California. Roy Muse from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, made a gift. George Howell from Monongahela, Pennsylvania. Matt Perry from Dublin, Georgia. Tressa Martin from Spokane, Washington. Tom Bernard from Hillsborough, Tennessee. Chris Myers from North Augusta, South Carolina. Dan Myers from Augusta, Georgia. Mary Kustra from Ellijay, Georgia. David Johnson from Belvedere, Illinois. We're going to talk about David in a second here. Greg Ambergy from Kings Mill, Ohio in the Cincinnati area. Pep Washburn from Central Wisconsin in Marshfield. Jerry Berman from Princeton, Florida. Mark and Jana Green from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Glenn Buchholz from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. Victor Brennan from Calgary, who's hosting the Gospel Revolution Convention at the end of June. Beverly Gillespie, as we said, from Allen Park, Michigan. James Gustafson from Estevan, Saskatchewan. Tim Knappenberger from Canton, Ohio. Sharon Kennedy from Cushing, Oklahoma. And Kate Benham. Kate Benham contributed. She gave us all the CDs to give away, but she also, with her husband Jeff, kicked in $100. And she sent Michael in the email from Victoria, Australia, that there was no need to send her her own music CD.
I think we're going to try to figure out something to give her other than her own CD. Yes.
Well, we'll send her the Tapper Teaching True Conversion and Grant Miller's book. I'm sure she'll be happy to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we have our first gift of the evening, which has come in via the email from Bob Hines. Bob Hines from McDonough, Georgia, with a $120 awesome gift going towards that grant from Beverly Gillespie. So thank you very much, Bob. And he will be receiving all three thank you CDs, Mike's Tavern Teaching, The True Conversion, Grant Miller's book on the gospel and his experience with it, Think and Be Free, and Kate Benham's new music CD, Eden in Me. So, all right, so we're off to a roaring start here, Michael. You know,
yeah,
one of the things, here's an interesting email we got this afternoon. I thought this was so great. It was from, and now I have to find it, of course. It was from Mike Kolb here in Florida.
Right.
And what the heck did I do with it? There it is. He says, "Hi, guys. You probably have something like this working already, but I was thinking it might be helpful for you to have an advisory group. You could tap into the talents of the listeners to get fresh ideas for raising money, improving operations, etc." He said you could even do a spiritual gifts inventory and guilt people into doing crap they don't want to do. And that's from Mike Cole. He says, "Blessings, Mike Cole." Now, see, this is our challenge. Right now, there are ministries, so-called Christian ministries, all over the planet that are asking people for money. You can turn on any Christian television day or night and see it. And they are absolutely guilting people into trying to give or saying that somehow, Michael, God will bless them if they give.
Well, not only that God will bless them, but they have to do it to get out from under a curse.
Exactly. And see, our challenge, now obviously we're dealing with a lot of people who've had experience with that kind of appeal. And so, and when you get out of legalism and you get out of Christianity and when you hear an appeal for money like we are admittedly doing right now, beautiful humans, we are asking you, we are appealing to you for your money. We need it. But when you do it to people who have been so manipulated and so abused and so robbed of their finances and their sense of trust, how do you do that without causing people to get their antenna up and say, you know, what the hell are these guys doing here?
Yeah, you know, one of the greatest marks of success that I've finally broken through to people about legalism is that they stop tithing, number one. But in a lot of cases, in fact, in most cases, not only did they stop tithing, they stopped giving altogether. So thus the temptation falls back on me as to what to do to get these people to give, of course, to support the very gospel that set them free. And the one thing that I just cannot do, I will not do, and that is to resort to any type of trickery. You know, that is what we are doing, and we are simply appealing for funds, and there's not going to be any offers to remedy your problems, to get you a blessing, or to take a curse off of you whatsoever, other than the fact that you get to help a lot of people get rid of the curse of religion. It'll definitely take a curse off of your life, but not off the life of the giver. But the giver will have the opportunity to hear more and more of these stories as this particular ministry in and of itself spreads this gospel around the world. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you think you're right. And, well, of course I think I'm right. I wouldn't breathe a word of what I'm saying unless I thought I was right. But, you know, I really rely on the issue of truth. And I've come to find that the only real definition of truth is that it's, you know, because you hear people, well, this is my truth and that's your truth and this is, you know, Buddha's truth and the Pope's truth and on down the line, you know. But that can be a truth within a sphere, if you will, but that's not really truth.
Why? Why is that not really the truth?
That is not truth. Those things are not truth. Those can be insights and personal revelations. They can be things that pertain to you. But truth really is, because of Paul's statements about nature itself would teach us the truth of the gospel. They're based on principles that when applied, they are equally applied to, and an equal effect is applied to every human being on the face of the earth. And that is the one thing that will distinctly always separate this ministry from, quite honestly, any other one that I know of. I mean, you know, we have our preterist friends that many of them believe that, you know, people are eventually going to be saved, and there's temporary stops in hell, and, you know, still, you know, a lot of teaching about being on different levels spiritually and all of these things. But the fact of it is that the one thing that has so far set Mike Williams' ministry apart from the rest is that I don't know of a thing that I teach, Glenn, that is not absolutely applicable to every human being on planet Earth, regardless of their race, creed, or color, religion, religious background, or the lack thereof, their involvement, their belief, or their unbelief, or their actions, or their deeds in life. I'm hard pressed, thankfully, to come up with anything that everything that I teach is applicable to virtually every human being on the face of this earth. And I think that is what qualifies truth. And everybody says, well, you know, what is truth? Who can say what truth is? Well, gravity is truth, you know. All of the things of nature are truth, and they affect everyone equally. It rains on the just and the unjust. And these were the things that we were given to look at to really then determine the flip-flop of this, that it's not just now it doesn't rain on the just and the unjust, but everyone that it rains on now is just, and they are justified in the eyes of God, because we have to coordinate that truth to the absolute truth of that is applicable to every human being. And those laws of nature is what Paul said that we could compare them to. And all of those are absolutely equally applicable to all human beings, regardless of what part of the planet that you might possibly live on.
Right, and that's the difference between somebody saying, well, this is how I see it, or this
yes.
is the way, this is my spirituality. So many times, you know, I have obviously talked to so many people about the gospel, and for some reason, especially people with religious backgrounds, they may hear it and they may come to feel that there's something there. But it's amazing to me how many times that I've explained the gospel and really gone into quite a bit of detail with people that they'll say that they don't see it that way, which is fine, of course. But they will come up with their own concoction of
yeah.
what they believe.
And it's terribly fragmented. It's not a belief that is applicable. It will never be something that's applicable to everyone.
In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about it. And I've talked to this guy for years about the gospel. And he said something, I prompted him to ask this question, something that I said prompt. He said, so where are you with this Jesus? Where are you with this Christianity? Are you Jewish? Are you a Christian? And I was just like, how many times do I have to tell this guy? So I went into, in detail again, why I'm not a Christian, why I believe Jesus is Lord, et cetera, et cetera. And as the discussion went on, he came up with, he said that 98% is how he put it, of people might get in. But there's got to be at least 2%.
Yeah.
Now, where he came up with this statistic, I have no idea. But he said at least 2% of the people would have to just, out of their own evil heart, reject the holiness and the love of God. And see, that's the thing, Michael. Anybody who is holding on to their own religious concepts, whether it come down from the Pope
yeah.
or whether they just make it up themselves, at the
yeah.
end of the day, what they're holding on to really is self-righteousness and their own construct
yeah.
of what they would have to do or not do in order to satisfy God.
Yeah, you know, I just became acquainted with a new friend here in Houston, and I thought it was quite funny. I mean, they I happened to mention something, and this was at the gym, and they said, "Oh, you're spiritual. I'm spiritual." And it's like, and I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. They wanted to clarify that, you know. And, they admittedly don't know anything really about Christianity or Islam or any of the religions of the world. And I thought this was really interesting, particularly coming from someone that was not raised in Christianity, was not raised in any of these things, but says, I really know God as we were talking. And there was an opportunity where there was, I can't remember whether it was directly asked for or not. but anyway, I did interject a small portion my conclusions, and I said, "Well, I believe that everybody's righteous and holy and perfect because of the work of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus, and that in the that from that time and actually before, but because of the cross, the ability of the cross to affect before and after." That nobody is going to a place called hell. I realized I was dealing with somebody that had come up with all of their own spiritual beliefs, and it was really funny because they said, "Well, yeah, if there is a hell, though, I think murderers would be the ones that would go there. Somebody that would take somebody else's life, that would have to be something that would send somebody to hell." So you're right. Yeah, they do just pull these things out of their hat, and I'm looking forward to maybe some further conversations and let them know that it's not that they know God, it's that God knows them. That is the power of a spiritual life, if you will.
Yes, that is so critical, because if you talk to people, and you see this all the time on the social networking sites like Facebook, and they ask for your religious affiliation. A lot of people say spiritual, not religious.
Yes.
But if you dive into it a little bit with them, you find out that what their spirituality represents is
It's very religious, actually.
treating people the way you want to be treated, being honest.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be, and it's all the same. They've been influenced by the thing. The thought that Jesus, this Jewish friend of mine, Facebooked me the other day and saw the Gospel Revolution connection on my Facebook, and talked about being a good person and doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that Jesus was a wonderful teacher,
yeah,
and a great example, and a great prophet even. People have such a misconception of what Jesus' purpose was, not only at the cross, of course, but even in his teaching in his earthly ministry. Jesus was not here teaching the disciples the way to believe and the way to behave. He was there solely to bring an end and a fulfillment to the law, to put an exclamation point after it, if you will, so that there would be no confusion as to what the purpose of the law was, which was to bring utter and complete condemnation to the human race.
Yeah, I totally believe that after the law was given, the only one that ever taught it accurately was Jesus. I think he was the only teacher of the law. Everyone else that attempted to do that, Jesus addressed the teachers of the law, and he called them all hypocrites and Pharisees. He addressed them as hypocrites and liars. But the only true teacher, when you realize that there was one man who gave the law and one man taught it, and the conclusion of that law is a very powerful, powerful thing. And that conclusion of that all not because of the law, but the law was there to give the revelation of the condition of sin that came way before, 400 and some years before the law was ever given, sin came into the world. And the law never made a man a sinner, but Jesus did teach the law. Moses gave it, Jesus taught it. Moses gave it, Jesus taught it. Nobody taught the law, not to its accuracy, because to teach all of the law would be to condemn the teacher also. So the teachers had to come with a built-in deception, if you will, and fence laws. There's all kinds of ways that they worked around, well, this is true, but, and, if. But you see, with the law, Glenn, the reason the law is absolute truth, there are no if, ands, or buts, the way the Pharisees taught it, the way that people teach the law today. You see, I believe that God's law is truth. It is the truth because it is equally applicable to all. It doesn't make any difference. Somebody, you know, people say, well, you know, at least I'm not a murderer. But yes, you are. Under the law, if you've told a lie, you are also a murderer, plus a breaker of all over 400 of God's commandments and ordinances and laws. So the law is the truth of God. It's just we do not accept its truth. You do not know anyone who teaches God's law and says they believe in it. I don't care. You can find me the most legalistic, you know, the people that go around condemning people at the you know, at funerals and say they're standing up for God's law. There's some Hebraic movement now going on around church. Somebody told me Paula White was a part of it, you know, going back to, you know, observe all the covenants and feast days and rules and rituals and trying to be Jewish again, you know. And but nobody has ever taught the law except Jesus. And because they don't teach that everybody is condemned under the law. The law is absolute truth. And I love God's law, just like David said, but I love it for the reason it was given, to bring a profound revelation that would lead us to Christ.
And also the fact that Paul was the only one that brought a magnifying glass to the purpose of the law.
Yes.
He said the law was given to add power to the temptation.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a tremendous insight that is so helpful to people if they will recognize it, that this is what the law does. What would you say to people, Michael, who say, well, I'm not guilty of the law because I'm not part of the nation of Israel, that the nation of Israel was the one given the law, and therefore, because I am not part of Israel or I'm not Jewish, that therefore I'm not guilty of something that God never gave me?
Well, I would wish we could get to that point where people would be at least that observant. I don't know anybody that would say that. But it would be nice to know, for them to know that God gave the law to Israel, and that the Jews, that the Gentiles, were not ever under the law, as was Paul's argument before Peter, James, and John in Acts chapter 15. He finally convinced them, and they understood the Gentiles had never been under the law, but they went back and put them under four laws anyway. Paul made it very clear that the heart and mind, even without being under God's law, it was only to the Jews. They become a law unto themselves. And he said, you can tell that they become a law unto themselves because they go around accusing and excusing one another. You see, the heart, every heart needs the gospel. I don't care whether they have never been in religion at all or not. The heart just has a predisposition for legalism without the power of the gospel. I believe everyone on this planet needs to hear the gospel, including those who have never been in religion, because just like as we've observed this evening, all people have to do is come up with their own, quote, spirituality, which is not spirituality at all. It's just another religion that they've come up with. It's just their personal religion. This is my own personal religion. And they like to call it spirituality.
Like that song about their own personal Jesus.
Absolutely.
Own personal Jesus.
How did I know we were in for that?
little song. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is night number 3 of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive. The phones have been very, very quiet in the first 35 minutes of this effort. We are asking you to get on the phone right now, ladies and gentlemen, at 1-800-436-3260. Let us hear from you. We have got to get off the schneid here. We just had a $5 contribution come in from not too far from where you are sitting, Michael Williams, in Houston, Texas. Jeffrey Robertson making a $5 donation, which we really, Jeff's been working his butt off on behalf of the ministry.
Yes,
and now
sure
he's
have.
Making a financial contribution, which is awesome. And we really appreciate it. Got this note in from Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia. Guys just made the $100 donation. And also, she says, I'm assuming this comes from Kate. She says, I don't think I articulated very clearly when I was on the webcast last week my absolute thankfulness and appreciation for the gospel. I hadn't heard the gospel until I heard Mike Williams. I had heard people hinting at it, but it was always a mixture, never pure grace. You teach some very important keys to understanding the scriptures and reading in context, which unlocked not only my thinking, but also my understanding of redemption through the gospel of grace and peace. Thank you so much, Mike. You changed my life, freed me to love, and introduced me to a most amazing, triumphant, and successful Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And says, we love you, and Jeff Benham, down there in Australia.
That certainly touches the heart, that's for sure. I appreciate that. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is seeing people free. You know, this, you know, Kate's letter could not say any better what it is that people are supporting. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I'm very grateful for her comments. What gracious things to say, and I really do appreciate it. I'm speechless. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Not very often you could say that.
That's the truth.
So, y'all came in with Sharon Kennedy's gift. She says, Mike and Glenn, after last Wednesday evening's broadcast and listening to the live testimony of Kate Benham, songwriter of CD Eden in Me, the book Think and Be Free from Miller, and Mike, your latest CD recording at the Barnes Angels, I could not pass up this opportunity to increase our pledge another $10 a month.
Aww.
Always listen to the archives. If I miss the live broadcast, I always listen to the archives, Sharon says. I trust this will encourage others that have heard the truth of the gospel that you share, Mike, to take advantage of this special offer to raise the needed funds to continue to set people free from religion.
That's amazing. That's
Sharon Kennedy in Cushing, Oklahoma.
I am speechless again.
That's not good, Michael, since we have about 40 minutes left to go on the webcast. So.
Well, people are so sweet. My gosh, this is so amazing. You know, and nobody's doing this because they're being coerced. Nobody's doing this. Now, did Sharon say she had already gotten her CD and book? And
no, she just said she was tempted by that offer. She couldn't
pay. Ah, okay. Okay, so she's doing that to get the CD and the book. Okay.
Here's Robert Dixon from Australia. He says that he just sent in his 3-month donation today of $243.39 in U.S. funds. So thank you very much, Robert.
Yeah,
much appreciated. Down under in Australia, Galston, Australia.
Yeah.
Here's an awesome question. This comes from Sean Kevin Riley. I'm going to be very interested to hear what you have to say about this. He says, "Hi, guys. A certain gentleman once opined eternal bodily life would be a monotonous confinement one would hardly mete out to a sinner, much less a saint. I concur with this opinion, so I have to ask, will God force me to live forever, even though I have no desire to do so? This is an inescapable implication of Christian universalism. Indeed, why is eternal life preferable to the marvelous nothingness of oblivion?" Sean Kevin Riley.
Very good question.
That's an awesome question.
Huh?
I said that's an awesome question.
It is an awesome question. I think that the question actually presents to us the desperate need for the saving of the soul, actually. Because, you see, we are so trapped in the really the hopelessness of life. And that the thought of termination of life being the only way to really be at peace. And I understand the thought. I remember a time when that I was certainly, rather than have faced the dread as to whether or not I was going to make it or not, I mean, absolute silence of annihilation, as the one of the Christian doctrines actually call it. They believe in annihilation, that people who don't become believers, they go into annihilation, and which is exactly what he's saying here.
Right.
But I think that the I think it really portrays a lack of understanding of life itself, to be honest with you. That we are, that life has become, you know, burdened. I can honestly tell you that even in the situations that I've been in, which we all have been through heart-rending situations, that would challenge the will of any human being to even consider to go on living, much less choosing to die. I mean, the choice to live was the difficult thing, not the choice to die. And but with where the gospel has brought me, and I'm discovering the discovery of my own heart and my own soul and my own mind has been such a great venture and adventure that I can't imagine it ending. Though
I think his point, though, is well taken. Because God has violated, if you will, man's free will in the gospel. Man had absolutely no role in being redeemed at the sight of God at all.
Right.
So will God also, likewise, knowing his creation, violate our will as to whether to want to live in eternal peace and tranquility, whatever that is, whatever heaven is, if you will he choose to violate that? Now, a lot of people who are on the side of eternal damnation doctrine will say, well, that God would never violate people's will to force them to be at peace with God because they have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And that people who would reject Jesus here wouldn't want to accept him in eternity.
Yeah, and that of course, is first off, a couple of points, is thinking within the confines of what we actually know now, or think that we know. But see, here's the thing. It's not an issue of going against the will, because, number one, the will is not a part of your spiritual being. So it's number one, it wouldn't be going against your will. That part of us is a soulish realm that is not something that I see directly connected to the spirit. Number two is the fact that it is spirit that will continue on. And you can't destroy spirit. It's not an issue of God forcing or not forcing. It's just an issue that that which is alive will stay alive. That which is spirit, and it can't be destroyed. It's not an issue of going against someone's will. It just is. It is life, and it will continue.
I think that's a good thing.
You know, I've come to see it as a good thing. I definitely have. I certainly, though, can empathize with our friend that has sent in the email. I do have to say, though, that I'm glad that I'm not in that position anymore, to where that just wanting to cease to be would be, you know, preferable. Now here's the thing is that, for me to choose, let's say there was a choice, okay? To choose non-existence over experiencing more beyond this life, I couldn't pass up, you know, if we had in front of us door number one or door number two.
It's Monty Hall, and let's make a deal, you have to have three doors.
We have to have three doors.
Right.
So I just can't imagine, though, Glenn, I knowing that whatever is behind this door of eternal life is going to far surpass anything that I possibly could imagine. I really do believe that. And I don't think it's just peace. I don't think it's just serenity. And I think there's much more vibrance to it, because if it is spirit, it is life, and life is much more than just those components. To choose annihilation, if you will, if I can use that term, because it's the term actually that he's referring to as far as what Christian doctrine talks about is annihilation. I can't imagine making that choice. However, I have to accept the fact that if some could choose, they would. But it just is not, it's not a violation of will. It's just spirit is alive. It has nothing to do with will. And God is not going against anybody's will that they are going to live forever. Spirit just does.
Trying to think about what that means. It's beyond my ability to comprehend.
It really is, you know.
I think this would be a good opportunity to talk to not only Sean, who asked the question, but you talk about the importance of the saving of the soul. Why that is so pivotal, and what you're finding personally and your experience with the gospel that has led you to the point of really enjoying your life, wanting to see it extended, wanting to see it be fulfilled to whatever it is, after having gone as the vast majority of people that are listening to the sound of our voice right now have also, just through the most hellish experiences. What has brought you to the point where you're not in despair, where you're not looking for a way out, that you're actually enjoying the journey and, frankly, the struggle?
Well, and that's very true, you know, and I don't know, you know, there's probably a lot of our listeners that don't know about my life before because, they know about it before the gospel and religion, but I think there's a lot of them don't know my life before that was my, quote, testimony. And a lot of them don't know that I attempted suicide 3 times. And the only thing I could conclude out of that was I can't even do that right. So I do know what despairing of life is. I do recall, and I am very, very thankful that I'm not in that situation and have all the empathy in the world because I've been there with someone who is in that situation. The saving of the soul for me, being someone who was completely condemned in all realms of Christianity because of my sexuality, not because of what I do, just because of what I am. I mean, you don't have to do anything where evangelical Christianity is concerned. It's just that you are, and that for you to qualify, you've got to go through a whole denial that you are and profess that you are something you're not. So, once again, just evangelical Christianity at its best, producing liars upon liars, as I was one. To come to that point, Glenn, my life was so compartmentalized. It became more compartmentalized in evangelical Christianity. My entire soul was completely fragmented and segmented. I could not deal with the whole person of Mike Williams. I couldn't deal with him. I could not. There had to be his sexuality, his spirituality, friendships, his relationships. Every part of me was fragmented completely and segmented from each other. I could never ever express, I'm so grateful. None of those parts of me are separate anymore. I am one whole human being. I don't mean whole as in everything's okay. I'm all one piece now. My sexuality is not a separate part from my, quote, spirituality or my social existence or is not separate from my spirituality and my my entire being is just one being now, and I don't have to lie anymore. And that's not to say that I go around telling everybody everything about my life. I don't. I have a personal life. I have and in that personal life, there is a private life that everybody has privacy. And I don't tell everybody everything. But one thing I don't have to do anymore, Glenn, is lie. And that peace, it really feels like I already have that. I don't know what eternal peace is, but if what I'm experiencing, even with still ongoing, you got to understand there's ongoing things. This doesn't mean that the situations and issues of my life have been resolved. I've got things that I, you know, if I were to start telling people some of the things that I have to deal with just on a family level, it would be shocking to know. But my heart is whole about those things.
I think that's the point, though, Michael. And there's enough people that know that that listen to the show and that are aware through the teaching CDs or through relationships with you what kind of struggle that you have had in your family. And without taking time to go into it right now, because we've talked about it quite a bit, but just imagine the most tragic family circumstances that you can that people have to cope with, and these are things that, and much lesser things that completely embitter people, completely suffocate the very lifeblood out of people, but for some reason. And this was, you didn't make a conscious decision to get over it.
No.
You just kept sharing and thinking about and meditating about this gospel. And when the Bible says that, and when Paul declared that he was not ashamed of the gospel, that it was the power of God unto salvation,
yeah.
He said to the Jew first, and maybe it harkens back to what we were talking about a little earlier, about that the Jews not only had to deal with the fall of Adam being in their lineage, but also the corruption of not being able to follow the law.
Yeah.
So the gospel is delivered to the Jew first for the cleansing of the soul, and also to the Gentile. That gospel is powerful, and
yeah.
that it will bring stability and wholeness and oneness in a person's soul, to the point where even in the midst of life's crap, you can say, this is worthwhile, this is good, this is
yeah.
this is a pleasant journey with all of its pitfalls and with
yeah.
all of its hidden traps and curves around the road and every metaphor that I could employ right now. But the fact of the matter is, we're still kicking.
Yeah.
And there must be something about the gospel itself. I'll say it this way. There is something about the gospel itself
yeah.
that gives a stability of heart that allows people to go forth. And if you abandon the gospel, if you put it aside, you may survive and you may do fine, but you will not benefit. See, the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is valuable and effective to everybody, or it's not the truth. And it's kind of like sunshine. The sun shines, and it is universally true. If you do not expose yourself on some level to the sunshine, it will not have the benefit, the life-giving effects that it can have. I don't care what color your skin is. If you are exposed to the sun, we know that is the number one source and the most vital source of vitamin D on the planet, for example.
Yeah.
It affects your emotions when the sun is out. But, Michael, if you're locked in a dark room somewhere, you're not going to benefit from this universal power, this orb in the sky that is there to give life to the entire planet. You're not going to benefit from it.
No, and that's one of the metaphors used in the gospel, is that it is light also. The light has come and to dispel the darkness. But that light needs to shine in the heart. Let me be very, very straightforward about something here, and that is that these very webcasts has been a major part of the saving of my soul, Glenn. The fact that we get on here. Now, let me tell you, there's no way that Glenn or I and many other relationships, a few other relationships, let's say, but there's been none to equal the number of hours that Glenn and I mean, you think these webcasts last long sometimes. My goodness, you know, a three-hour session for Glenn and I talking about nothing but the gospel. Several times a week sometimes. That has been saving to my soul to do that. And it creates such gratefulness for me, Glenn. I, you know, gosh, I'm so grateful for you in all of this also, because it has enriched my life tremendously to do these webcasts. I am enriched by this because it is part of the saving of my soul. I get to rehearse the gospel. I get to talk about the gospel. I get to think about the gospel. I get to answer questions about the gospel. And let me tell you, folks, I benefit from this broadcast. And that's the reason we archive it and we produce it. Believe me, this broadcast, in essence, takes place probably several times a week when Glenn and I get together on the phone. And it's just not broadcast, that's all.
Yes, as we've often said, that the private conversations might be more interesting than the actual webcast from time to time.
But
nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, I concur. I mean, there's something about sharing the good news and the righteousness with each other. It's cleansing. Folks, we got to do this life thing moment by moment.
Yeah.
Not just day by day. Michael, as you have advised me so many times in some of those private conversations, or many of the private conversations, it's 10 minutes at a time sometimes.
Yeah.
And you string enough 10-minute segments together, and all of a sudden you got through a day. And then you get through another day. And then you get through a week. And all of a sudden you get through a year, and you're still kicking. And you look back on it, and with all the BS that we put up with and have to deal with just being human beings, and living under gravity. Gravity's pressing down on us at all times. It is stressful to live on this planet just based on gravity.
Yes.
It's pressing on you, ladies and gentlemen. And how do you cope with it? How do you deal with it? We cannot advise a more effective strategy than to keep this gospel, as the scripture talks about, as frontless between your eyes, as a constant issue to be dealt with in your mind, in your soul. That's why we do what we do. We're coming up to our last half an hour here of night number 3 of the Spring Pledge Drive, and the phones have been pretty quiet, but we do have a caller online that has been waiting for a few minutes. We appreciate his patience, and we appreciate all his efforts that he's doing for the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministry right now. And that is our dear brother Jeffrey Robertson calling us from Houston, Texas. Jeffrey!
Hey there.
Good evening.
Enjoying the gospel tonight?
I was getting lulled to sleep there for a second.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I just realized that. I was like, wait a minute, somebody might start talking to me and I might not answer because I'm too busy listening to you two talk to each other. So, but I enjoyed your conversation, and I know what that's like. The reason I had to call is Mike was talking about earlier, you two were talking about earlier, how that you don't try to, you know, there's no obligation, nothing obligatory about giving, and nor is there, you know, there's no scriptural benefit for it either. And therefore, Mike just absolutely will not, you know, try to go there like so many of the religious folks do. And it reminded me of something. We know that I went to New Life Bible College, and I was actually sitting up on the platform one time during a seminar, a week-long seminar, where Mike was, he was like the marquee name. I mean, he's the one who drew all the crowd in, and that place was packed the whole time he was there speaking. Well, they got Mike to do the offering every time, and Mike would get up there, and he'd reference some scriptures, and I was sitting on the platform one night when he did this, and I saw the director of the Bible college. I almost said his name. I don't want to say his name. But I was only about 2 feet from the director of the Bible college. And when Mike had finished saying what he said, I saw his eyes light up, and he said, oh, yeah, it's from giving money. And I saw his eyes light up, and I said, you know what? Mike can. He's very able to bring in a good offering. Or he was back then. This is back in the days before Mike, you know, started teaching the whole gospel. And Mike refuses to do that now. He just cannot in good conscience do that. But it reminded me of all the stories that I get to hear all the time. So I had to go and, you know, financially, I have to pinch every penny, but I had to go online immediately and make a donation because, like you said, every little thing counts. Are you guys still there?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, okay, because something funny happened with my phone. But every little penny does count, and because I get to hear the most wonderful stories, and some of the people who are listening now, they've received a newsletter that we send by postal service, and some of the people listening, they don't receive it. Well, the flip side to that is there's a lot of people who do not listen to this webcast who try and stay in touch with the ministry. And I get calls from these people all the time. And they just call me and they tell me their story about when they first heard the gospel. Like a lady, she spent, and these calls can last an hour or two, and I'm a sucker because once they start talking, I just hear their story and I stay on the phone with them. And I love hearing it. But one lady, she and her husband, they were already middle-aged. They had been raised in the church. They went through the whole Baptist, Pentecostal, full gospel. They went through all the ropes. And they just happened to get a DVD series called The Great High Priest by Mike in their hands. And they decided to throw a DVD in. And once they watched that first one, they could not stop. And so they watched all eight of them, which is, good Lord, something like 12 hours. That's like a marathon movie session. And they watched it in the course of 2 days. And that lady found herself... It was so beautiful because she was almost crying on the phone, but she was so happy at the same time. She found herself running around the house screaming, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And it was a beautiful story. You know, just in 2 days, because it took her 2 days to watch them, in 2 days, she got free from a lifetime of religion. And never turned back. And she's now been listening to Mike for, I don't know, I think 8 years or something. And, you know, I heard another story where this lady had grown up similar to my background, you know, always fearing Armageddon and no hope for the future because, you know, there's going to be this great Armageddon and Mark of the Beast and One World Government and all this other stuff. And it's a really horrible way to grow up, I can tell you. And, after listening to Mike one night, a woman just, you could tell the weight of the world, the weight of a world war at least, was off of her shoulders. And she, her only comment was, at least now I know I have a future. And I get so many calls. I get people telling me, I just got a call another day, just the other day from a lady. Mike wasn't here at the time, and she just called. She got the newsletter that we just sent out a while back, and she called to just let Mike know because she had fallen out of touch and hadn't talked to him in quite a few years. She just wanted to let Mike know how he completely, or not he, but you know, the teaching, the gospel, completely changed her life, her husband's life, her children's lives, and they live a wonderful, wonderful life. And so, you know, this is a life-changing thing, and this is really worthwhile to give to. And I just want to encourage everybody and anybody that, there is, God's not going to pat you on the back and say, attaboy. But, you know, if you've experienced anything like these folks have experienced, it is actually fun to share the love. And when I gave that little bit that I gave, I'm happy I was able to give it, you know, and that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jeffrey. We appreciate you. We love you.
Love you, too.
We sure
Thanks
do.
For calling.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
There's Jeff Robertson, ladies and gentlemen, who is now very intimately involved in this effort, and we're asking you to get involved with this effort. Tonight is night number 3 of the Spring Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution 2010. We're asking for your donations. That line's now available for you. Sean O'Halloran is waiting in the studio at 1-800-436-3260. It's been relatively quiet tonight. We really would like to hear from you. If you're listening live right now, get on the phone and help us finish strong here. We know we've got a week to go after this show goes off the air live. And for all you folks that are listening on the archive right now, all you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com. You page down in the middle of the homepage, click on Please Donate, and do your best. Whether it be a $5 donation or a $100 donation or a $10,000 donation, we've got $1,500 to make up for in a matching grant. So every dollar that you give up to $1,500 is going to be doubled. We cannot stress enough how important it is to get on the line, to get on the internet, and let us hear from you. We really need your help. We have a $20,000 goal. We're around $4,000 right now, so obviously we have a long way to go. We're out here swinging. We need your help. $5, $10, $100, somebody can give $5,000, it'd be awesome. But whatever you can do, as Jeff was saying, it all goes into the same effort to share this good news with the public that, frankly, needs to hear it. And here we have a $150 donation that just came in, Michael, from Bill and Jeannie Schultz of Pollock Pines, California.
Oh, wonderful.
Which we really appreciate, you guys. Thank you very much. And that and your gift is being doubled.
Being matched.
By Beverly Gillespie. So that's actually $300 towards the effort. Let us hear from you. If you're listening right now, get on the phone at 1-800-436-3260. It's about 10 after 10 on the East Coast of the United States. If you're listening live, we want to hear from you. We want to finish strong tonight. 1-800-436-3260. Sean will get you right on the line with us, and we want to hear your heart. We want to hear your pledge. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear your personality. We want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. We just got this letter in from Bob Hines, who, of course, contributed an additional $100 tonight, which we so appreciate, Bob, from Georgia. He says, "I'm Glenn and Mike. As I listen to you talk about the Mosaic Law, I hear it being discussed as the law is in the now and present. It's my understanding that the law, the Psalms, the prophets, the Tanakh, was swallowed up and became flesh in the form of Christ on the cross. Are we to continue to talk about the performance of the law when it in reality was killed off spiritually, the entire human race, at the cross before total redemption of all, when he presents all before the Father in heaven?" Just so thoughts. Good broadcast tonight. Kind regards, Bob Hines. So, Michael, when we talk about the law and the effects of the law, is the law a valid thing to talk about today?
Well, first off, his comments are absolute truth. They have been completely swallowed up in relationship to God, and they've been completely taken away. They are a non-issue. However, people still put themselves under the law. Preachers are putting people under the law, and so it has to be preached and taught that we are not under the law. And we have to help people understand the effects of the law in their lives to help them come to grips with the real problem, that the real problem is not their problems. The real problem is what has been given to them to solve their problems. And that's what the law is used for in church. It offers people solutions to their problems. If you do this, God will do that. And that is just such a deadly, deadly mindset, and produces a soul that is in urgent, urgent need of salvation and truth. And even and yes, it still needs salvation from the law, even though the law itself, as it was eloquently put, was completely obliterated. It is it became flesh. The law, the Psalms, and the prophets became flesh in the body of Christ. There is no interpretation to the law now except through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There is no interpretation to any prophecy except through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Outside of that, there is no definition of law anymore except within that context. Because it went through a metamorphosis, if you will, and became flesh in the body of Jesus Christ. And we watched what the law, the Psalms, and the prophets went through, what they became, what they were, and what the conclusion of it all was in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that is the sad thing, is that churches are preaching the law. It's a heartbreaking thing. Joel Osteen is constantly preaching nothing but the law. He just says it with a smile on his face.
He does it in a nice facility that looks very modern and very, you know, sort of chic religion, if you will. But, I mean, he is preaching cause and effect religion. See, the thing is, there's 613 laws that God set up with Israel. But here's the thing, Michael, if anybody, whether it be Joel Osteen or anybody else, is saying that there are conditions in order to be blessed by God in any way, shape, or form, they might as well be preaching all 613.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is... when you preach that, it is antichrist. It's before Christ. But you see, the thing of it is, they're not even preaching the before Christ version of it, because they're pulling segments out saying you can do this law and be blessed by this law until you concur with the law and say you must keep all, not only, now here's the thing, not only do you have to keep all 613 laws, all of your children have to keep all of your children have to keep all 613 laws, and all of your children's children, then you qualify to be blessed through the law. So when I first started teaching this, I, you know, tongue in cheek told everyone I was well on my way to being blessed through God's law, and then I had children. So,
and then I had to wait on children.
And then I had to wait on three others to get all 613 laws absolutely perfect all of the time and never need to ask for forgiveness. And then I had to wait on all of my grandchildren to be born and wait for them to all. So the fact of it is, nobody is blessed through doing this at all. There is no blessing from God through the law. And I watched Joel. I tell you what, I love this kid because he was a kid when I used to speak for his father. And I do have a sentiment for him. And you know, I have tried and spoken well of him even on this broadcast. I watched Sunday morning, though, and I was so ashamed of what I was hearing come out of his little smiley face. I was ashamed of it because he was saying things that were absolutely not true.
Like,
and he
what?
Knows they're not true. And
like
every
what?
Single person there, well, like he was saying, any promise of God, any promise that God made, if you claim that promise, if you believe that promise, and if you ask God for it, well, he didn't say claim or believe it. If you ask God for it, God will always honor his word and his promises. He said, God has never failed you. God has always given you his promises. And you know, I started talking about how that, you know, that it may have been at the last minute. Well, God didn't come through for his father at the last minute. You know, a man that was still relatively a young man. You know, he was not of any advanced age whatsoever. And a great man. I love John Osteen. John Osteen was, befriended me in one of the most compassionate men that I've ever met in that whole charismatic Word of Faith movement. There just was not a better soul. And now here is his son. And I remember when Joel first started, and he said the one thing they are not going to do. I mean, when he started in the big arena that they're in now, I watched his first sermon. It brought me to tears because he said, the one thing you are not going to hear from the pulpit is guilt or judgment. And everything he says is guilt and judgment now.
Yeah.
And it is not intended to be, but it is. And it's like I want to shake him and say, Joel, wake up. You're violating your own heart here. You don't want to preach guilt and judgment. But to keep from doing it, he has to absolutely lie to himself, to his wife, to his children, to every member of the congregation. And here's what has to happen then, Glenn. His wife, his children, and every member of his congregation has to concur that the lie he just told is truth. And they all sat there quietly, listening.
And not only do they have to accept the lie, they become complicit in the lies. And
they
then
become
they have
the
to
lie.
Become liars.
They become the lie, and they become liars themselves. So it's all based on lying. If we all lie, and every member of his congregation that concurred with what he was saying Sunday morning, every person within the sound of his voice that concurred with what Joel said Sunday is a liar.
What do you think people are thinking, or what did we think? Let's put it that way. When we would come up with these lies that we knew weren't true, how did we justify saying these things? I mean, here, Joel Osteen's dad died, as you said, at a relatively young age of a heart attack. His mother beat cancer for the time being. I mean, she survived a serious bout with cancer, but his dad died.
Right.
So, of course, he highlights the experience with his mother.
Yeah.
But how do you think, Michael, that they justify this kind of rhetoric when they know? How do people live with themselves? How did we live with ourselves? Is that the power of the deception?
Well, it's the power of the deception, but the deception is that somehow you are actually pleasing God by making these emphatic statements. You are agreeing with God in spite of. So there's this illusion that somehow you are speaking of a higher truth by denying the truth. And what kind of hell of a truth is that? That you have to deny the truth to preach the truth? Ah! You know, the wonderful thing about the gospel is I can tell you that I am absolutely righteous and holy and perfect, and I am a homosexual.
Well, I can tell you that I am perfect, holy, and righteous, and I am a heterosexual. So there you go.
God forbid. God forbid. We've got to do something about that.
I am a straight man, and I love a gay man, and you can't do anything about it. All right.
But you see, in that other world, you literally have to create a lie to present your truth. See, do you see the difference, Glenn? They have to present a lie to present their, quote, truth. Now, he did say absolute, 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 but it's not true. He had to lie about everything to present that. which isn't true either. But in the gospel, thank God I can say the absolute truth of the gospel is absolutely real in all situations, in every person's life, and yet I can also admit to any and all faults and failures, perceived or implied.
There's such a faulty understanding of God's interaction with the human race. That's a major problem right there.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
We're going to get into that. We might have time yet this evening, or we'll get into it in a future webcast. but we want to wrap this night number three up in a strong way, and I can think of no better way than to go to one of our Ohio correspondents who's online with us, who's got a pledge for us, who's always got some great things to say, Tom Tonsky, calling from the Buckeye State. Tom!
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Tom.
We are enjoying the good news on this particular Wednesday night.
I'm sure you are. I'm sad. Our girl from Ohio didn't win American Idol. That's why I called in late. I was watching.
Oh, she didn't win it, huh?
Nah, she didn't win it. She was way better than the guy that won, too. little farm girl from outside of Toledo. She could really wail, though. She had a really kind of a Janis Joplin-y, Bonnie Raitt-type voice.
Well, I'm sure she'll do just fine for herself, Tom.
Oh, she'll do great. She'll do better than this other guy in a minute.
Yeah, well, you know, the history of those American Idolist semifinalists is the semifinalists tend to do better than the finalists, generally speaking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, she was good. Anyway, put me down for 100.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
You're a gracious man.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
I'm holy, righteous, and perfect. How can I be?
You really are.
Huh?
You are one holy dude, brother.
You know what? Them guys, I was reading another Ohio All-Star today. I was reading a magazine by the Ernest Angley Ministries.
Oh, that guy's
ever hear
a classic.
Ernest Angley?
Ernest Angley.
He's
right up the road. He's about, him and Rex Humbard both. They were from Akron. They're right up the road, about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? The whole thing of it is the Christianity that we got, that we all were raised in, plain and simple, is nothing but a cult.
Yeah.
It's a freaking cult.
Yeah.
When people come out of cults, they're lost. My brother was an Adventist for years. And when people come out of cults, they just kind of, I don't know what it is, if they're suspicious or something, but we really have. I mean, and we thought that way, you know, like Mike's always referring Word of Faith. I cut my teeth in a big church called the Abundant Living Faith Center out in El Paso, Texas.
Yeah.
With Bob Tilton coming in and Charles Capps and all them guys, and it was, we were crazy.
Crazy. Mentally ill.
We were out of our minds. And I sit and I listen to this fund drive here, and it just, when I think of how much money I gave Kenneth Copeland and every Yahoo, Bob Tilton crying on the television, every Yahoo that came down to, and you know what? We tithed. When my wife was putting dish rags on the wall with thumbtacks, just so the walls wouldn't be bare, and we were so poor,
wow,
that we still scrounged up enough money to send these guys something, you know. And for all the people listening who might have did that same thing, you know, gosh, I got a lady on my mail route. She gets a little package from TBN at least every couple weeks, a little box with some kind of a trinket in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She lives in a mobile home. She got no teeth. She can't afford to buy teeth. he lives in a mobile home that's worth about $2,000, but that check goes out to TBN all the time.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
It's a cult. It's and the whole thing is a cult based on fear. And that's all. It's all about fear. That's all we were ever taught our whole lives. Was God going to burn us in hell?
I saw a Christian fund drive this week. I don't know. It might have been on God TV. And this guy called it the blood of Jesus anointing oil.
Oh,
there you go.
And the bottle was red. It was the blood of Jesus anointing oil.
Yeah. That's no different than relics that we used to have as Catholics, getting rosary beads that were blessed by the Pope. And that's what you guys need to do, start selling indulgences.
Well, everybody listens to us indulges already anyway. We don't have to sell
it. Yeah, I hear you. Hey, that Kate Bennett tape, CD, is really good.
Talk about that for a second. That's one of the thank you gifts that you get for gifts of $100 or more.
Yes, but you Kate can keep mine. I bought one already. I bought my own.
All right. Well, you'll give one away then.
Okay. I couldn't wait. It's good. I listen to it every day. Some of the songs are really very, very good.
Well,
yeah,
I love the title song
on that, Tom, the Eden in Me. Do you like that one?
Yeah.
I like that, Mike, all in all.
Mike, tell us a little bit about your experience listening to the gospel being sung back to you for the first time in your career.
Oh, my. I took my appropriate place on my big sofa and dropped the CD into the player on my TV, and my goodness, I just I cried. I cried openly. I wept. I was not just tears running down my face. I was weeping uncontrollably, and hearing the words of the teachings come back at me in song and in such a wonderful way through such a beautiful person who was giving her talent and her time to put this to song and the lyrics and music and everything. I was overwhelmed. I was completely overwhelmed, and
It was good. It really ministers to your spirit. It really does, in a way that I can't say that any music's really the music. And I always loved Christian music. I was really into praise and worship. I got to laugh about that because when I think back about, we had a church that I went to that was a stand up, hands in the pocket, sing out of the old hymnal church. And I remember teaching an adult class and bringing my guitar in and trying to lead them in some praise and worship songs, and it was just unbelievable. But actually, it was really kind of goofy because when I think back, I was trying to train them to learn how to worship the right way, so God yeah. would really, you got to raise your hands and cry and I just think about that, like how we actually thought that was just really pleasing the Lord because we were singing and crying and swaying.
Yeah.
That was worship, huh? You can only worship God by loving another human being.
Oh, that's good. That's
there's no other
good.
Way to
that.
Worship Him. That's the only way we can worship God is by loving each other. There's just no other way to do it.
Yeah.
You know? Well,
I
anyhow,
can go with that.
I just wanted to call.
Thank
I want
you,
that
Tom.
Book. That's why I called. That's why I gave you some money. I want that. What's that guy's name, the book he wrote? Derek?
Grant Miller.
Grant Miller.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just kidding, you know. But I'm looking forward to his book, though, because I like to read.
Yes.
Well,
you will enjoy
it. Do me a favor, Tom, and just email us your shipping address so we have that on record. And we
you don't have my shipping address yet.
Pardon me?
You don't have my shipping address?
No, we have it, but it's just a little handier if
we
you
just need to attach it to your gift.
If you attach
okay,
it to your
I
email.
Will. Okay, so
appreciate
I'll
it,
get
Tom,
that
right
in
now.
Line.
And
all right,
I hope that things go well, and I hope you guys are able to stay on the air.
We hope so too. We're planning on it.
Okay.
We got a week left here, Tom.
Huh?
We got a week left to raise the rest of these funds.
Okay, good.
So you have
a good rest of the week. I'll see you. See y'all later.
Thanks.
Sorry
Tom.
About your Ohio
right.
girl.
Good. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Good night.
Bye. Well, there's Tom Tomsky. That call, Michael, is clued us in why the phones may have been a little quieter than we would have expected. It was the last night of American Idol.
No.
We didn't know we were up against American Idol tonight.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Well, that means that there'll be a lot of people listening on the archive.
There you go. We'll have a lot of archives and a lot of gifts coming from people listening post-American Idol.
Exactly. We had this week, and this just shows you how things can add up. We had a gift. Well, we've talked about him often, but David Johnson from Belvedere, Illinois. Now, David gives like this all the time. And this is a week's giving. On Tuesday, May 18th, David gave $5.70. On Thursday, the 20th, he gave $3.40. On Sunday, he gave $8.65. This is all from the website on PayPal.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday, so yesterday, he gave $5.30. Now, it doesn't mean much. First of all, it means a lot to us just to hear
it
from.
It sure does.
But here is what David has given this week. It's in 1 week's time, $23.05.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, if everybody who has benefited by this message, if everybody who listens to this webcast, when they're thinking about Michael, when they're thinking about us, would give $3.40 and $8.65, we wouldn't have to do these pledge drives.
Yeah.
The money would be there. And so as we close the spring pledge drive for 2010, we want to encourage you folks to do something. We can't promise you anything but the fact that you might feel good about participating in this effort. And so just to recap once again, go to gospelrevolution.com. That's our website. Click on the Please Donate button, and then please donate. Do the best you can do. Right now, we've got a total of $4,080 either pledged or actually given. And we've got $1,300 to be matched in a matching $1,500 matching grant by Beverly Gillespie. From Allen Park, Michigan. So every dollar that you give this week, as we go offline right now, but this is valid through the next time we greet you,
yeah,
which will be in 1 week's time. We're trying to get to 20 grand. So, Michael, what would you say to folks? Okay, you guys are well short. How do you keep going? What motivates you? How are you going to keep this thing going if pledge drive after pledge drive, you don't meet your goal?
We will see. We will see. You know, the one thing that I do know is that
Mike Williams and Glenn Klein will be online, whether broadcast or not.
We
no
love
doubt
to share
about
the gospel.
It.
We need your help to do it on a more profound basis. Michael made a statement last week and a goal to reach 1 billion people with this gospel before we exit stage left off this planet. So we got a lot of work to do. Yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
But it's
I'm
our
willing.
Pleasure.
I'm willing.
Yeah, we're going to be here. So come hell or high water, lack of finances, overabundance of finances, we're going to be here for you. And you can call Michael directly to talk to him, to make donation, to order CDs, whatever you want to do at 281-955-1910. That's 281-955-1910. You can call me. My number's on the on my website. You can call me directly on my cell phone at 813-363-9545. We're available to you. And I think that's an important point for you guys to know. But please do something to get us towards our goal. We'd love to give you a good report next week about the financial stability of this effort. We need your help. We don't know how else to do it. We ask Mike Kolb earlier in the program. We read an email about that. we'll start to put people under guilt trips. We were not going to do that. The one thing we will not do is put you under a spiritual gifts inventory and guilt you into giving. But we will ask, and we. You know, I'm not embarrassed to ask, Michael. I have absolutely zero shame in asking people to participate financially in this effort because I know what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing.
And we want to thank everybody who has participated thus far. I want to thank you ahead of time for considering to do so this week. Let us hear from you about what you do contribute at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's the email address, webcast@gospelrevolution.com, so we can get your shipping address. For gifts of $100 or more, you will receive 3 thank you gifts. You're going to receive Michael's teaching from Wisconsin called True Conversion that was done at the bar in Janesville. You don't want to miss that one, that's for sure. Grant Miller's book, Think and Be Free, and the music CD we were just talking about from Kate Benham called Eden in Me. 3 thank you gifts. For your gifts of $100 or more, whether they be a one-time gift or a monthly pledge totaling $100 or more, you get $10 a month, and you'll get the thank you CDs. You can do that all online at gospelrevolution.com. Thank you to Jeffrey Robertson for everything he's doing and for calling in and contributing tonight. Thank you for all of our emailers and our donors. Thanks to Sean O'Halloran for producing and engineering this extravaganza. I'm headed to Chicago on Friday, Michael, for a big weekend.
Oh, awesome.
Family reunion.
Yeah.
You got a family reunion coming up next week.
The weekend after that, yep.
Yeah, we have to keep the gospel as frontless between our eyes to get through those.
For sure.
You all know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Well, I will talk to you next week, as Michael will too, and we're going to continue with this report of the good news on Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Until we talk next time, this is Glenn Klein online saying, Shalom, everybody!